Time to close it now. The podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
Hey, hey, Sam Wakefield here. What is happening? It is time for another episode in the Sales Psychology series. So I am so glad you've joined today. Have you ever delivered a flawless presentation? You know it's perfect, only for the buyer to, you know, your homeowners to hesitate, they stall, or they just ghost you. What happened is you didn't lose the deal because of your solution or your amount of education you gave them or anything else. Sometimes, and most of the time, in fact, all the time, you lost it because of psychology. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to crack open the hidden world of, drum roll please, cognitive bias. This is the invisible forces that are steering your buyer's decision. Your homeowners make decisions based on what? Their experience, what they already know. So what we're going to do today is you're going to learn how to spot these mental traps that are sabotaging your deals and how to flip them in your favor. So I am excited to get into this episode. This is part 7 of the Sales Psychology series, and it's all about what happens inside the buyer's brain during the decision process. And if you've been following along, then you know we have covered a lot of territory, and we have 7, 8, 9, 4 episodes to go. This is the first of the next ones. So far you've learned how to build trust. You've learned how to read energy. You've learned how to speak to different buyer types, including the 3-part neurodivergent series that we just went through. So now it's time to understand the mental shortcuts and biases that hijack logic, and they can put delays on the yes. So these aren't just theoretical. They show up on every single call. So one thing that you need to know is top closers, the 1%, don't just present well. What we do is we guide buyers out of their own psychological traps. If you've listened to enough of these of my episodes, one thing that you will have heard me say over and over is sales is basically 90% psychology and 10% actual sales skills. Or you can look at it this way. It's 90% psychology and 10% taking an order. So, and I firmly believe that. And I'm glad that you are here today. We are going to do that. But first, let's do a review. All right. So today's reviews come from, I've got 2 reviews to read today. They are one, it like looks like we've got 2 B's. We've got Brandon Jenkins. So this is a 5-star review. Says, great training session, very valuable learning experience, would recommend to anyone trying to better themselves and their company. Woohoo! Thank you, Brandon. And also, we've got Braden Peters, also a 5-star review. Sam was an incredible instructor, truly learned so many things in our training, and can't wait to continue learning from him to become more successful. So thank you, Braden and Brandon. Both of those actually came from an on-site training that I did a couple months ago, and they were awesome guys in the class. And I didn't even know what these reviews were. I just came across them. So thank you, Brandon and Braden. You guys are awesome. And I appreciate it so much. That is literally what happens every single time we train. So if you are stuck or you're ready to get to the next level or seems like you've got your team, you just keep hitting, banging your head against the wall. It's like everyone wants to grow. You just don't know how to get there. I'll tell you, I'm reading a book right now. This is a quick detour from the podcast for a second, but I'm reading a book right now called Who Not How. It's a Dan Sullivan book. Highly, highly recommend the book Who Not How. It's incredible. It's forcing me to think differently, but it also really emphasizes exactly what we do with, with the training. You know, when you come to a place that, when you get to a place where you want to grow, you want to do something different, you want to break out of the barriers that you've been in, a lot of times what happens is, you know, we look for a new information, all of these things. But, you know, what I really realized while I'm reading this book, and I'm going through the same thing in my own business. In fact, just today, date of recording, I hired a new coach. I hired a new business coach for me because, you know, this gentleman, he hangs out. In fact, yesterday he was telling me, had lunch with a billionaire. You know, and he's making it a very specific mission of his to have lunch with every month with some, if he has to fly across the country to do it, he doesn't care, to get in the circle and have lunch with and, you know, take a billionaire to lunch once a month, because that is his network that he's working on breaking into. So the conversation we had today is it's a journey, but the biggest element of it is the second someone, the second you understand that there is no there's no awards for having your ego or having your pride such that you don't ask for help. So, you know, one of the principles from this Who Not How book is, you know, set yourself a set time limit of solving the problem yourself and make it shorter than you think it should be. Set yourself a time limit of solving this whatever problem in your business. If it's your, if it's your sales career, if it's your business growth, whatever it is, set yourself a time limit. And if you haven't solved it in that amount of time, then ask, instead of asking how, start asking who. Who has been there? Who has done it? Who's a specialist in this area? And find that person, because every single time you invest in that type of a who to solve the problem for you, it creates time freedom in your life. It creates financial space in your life, because the results that you're going to get are dramatically better and faster than if you just keep trying to beat your head against the wall, read another book, take another course, go to another seminar, all of these things, go to another convention. But then how much do we actually get to implement? Because your bandwidth is already maxed. If you were going to make the changes and see the growth on your own, you would have already done it. And so this is a great conversation, and I see it in my life right now. I hit a place in the Close It Now business where I was starting to bump up against the wall, and I really didn't know how to climb past that. So that's why I hired a business coach for me. And you can do the same. So thank you for those reviews. That is a great springboard to take us into what our conversation is today about cognitive bias. Because what happens, we get the reason. So let's talk about what cognitive bias is. I'll relate it back to what we were just talking about here for a second, and then also we'll dive on into the conversation here. But what cognitive bias is, here's the definition. It is, so cognitive biases is the official name for it, is subconscious thinking errors that distort how people process information, evaluate decisions, and perceive risk. So here's why it matters. Here's why it matters in sales. Your homeowners think they're making rational choices, but what's happening is they're really reacting to emotional shortcuts. If you ignore this bias, you're gonna fight resistance. If you reframe the bias, then you become the guide and the decision starts to feel safer. Now, the reason this happens, so when we're, you know, when we, let's take it back to the conversation around hiring coaches and trainers for a second. You know, so much of cognitive bias comes from two things. One, and we're going to go through all of these things here in a second, but not everyone is the same. In coaching and training, sales training, in business coaching, all those types of things, it is definitely the 80-20 rule as well. Don't think that just because someone has a coaching or training business that they're any good. This is why you, when you look on social media, you should see all the conversations about gurus. You know, the gurus that they teach because they can't do. So that's very much a thing. Now, when you are someone like myself, who every single time we step on the field, we get results, real results, not just the, you know, the flashy, you know, check out my gold chains and watch me drive my, you know, my race cars type of results. But then, you know, I follow those types of trainers in, you know, in companies, and the companies almost always tell me they couldn't even run their own system in the field, or they'll tell me that their numbers went down after they were there. But while our numbers, when we work with companies, they go up on average about 30%, usually a pretty quick bump, and then it starts to continue to increase over time. It doesn't drop back off because we do things differently. We train on what we're going to get into today, these types of things, because once you're aware of these moments, it moves forward and you cannot move back. So it moves the needle to a place where your lasting results are incredible. That's why when you hire us to come train your company, which right now we are open, the calendar is pretty open for the fall of 2025. So reach out right now. You can get me at sam@closeitnow.net or just go to closeitnow.net and fill out the form on there. I'll get back to you. And we can have a discussion about how we can come get your company off of stuck. Let's get you out of neutral and get you into the next gear. So that's why we see crazy results. They are awesome and lasting. And if you don't believe me, reach out. I have a laundry list of testimonies and testimony videos and all kinds of stats. We can chop it up. So let's get into this episode. So cognitive bias, yeah, it's subconscious thinking errors. The brain creates shortcuts. So that's why it matters. You know, buyers think they're making rational choices, but what they're doing is they're really reacting to emotional shortcuts. So the neuroscience behind this, the brain science, is they come from these biases. They come from what's called the amygdala. It's the emotional center. And the prefrontal cortex is your rational center. So your emotion part of your brain and the rational part of the brain are they're competing for dominance in the brain in the decision factor. So under stress or fear, the emotional shortcuts are going to win. That is, some people call it the lizard brain. It's going to just shortcut and take over because they're designed to protect. So there are five top cognitive biases that sabotage in-home sales. And so we're going to go through each of these five biases, and I'm going to give you some easy ways to recognize them, some word tracks, and some verbiage to reframe these biases and to help you overcome those in a conversation. So I'm going to take it slow because there's a lot here. And I want you to be able to really pay attention. This is probably an episode you're going to want to listen to multiple times to be able to absorb and then be able to not just absorb, but to implement what we are talking about. Because remember, success happens at the speed of implementation. So let's get into the first one, which is confirmation bias. Confirmation bias. What is it? We instinctively seek out evidence that supports what we already believe, and we ignore or undervalue anything that contradicts it, even if the new information is factual. And if you don't believe this, all you have to do is look at politics. That's all I'm going to say about that. This is not a political conversation. However, if you look at politics, what you will see is confirmation bias on display because we all know people, and it doesn't matter what side they're on, they have a belief system that is being supported by their confirmation, by what they already believe. And when you show them facts and figures and actual reality, they don't believe it. They'll ignore it or undervalue it because it doesn't align with what they already believe. So it's the same thing. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing in sales. It happens with everything. That's just an obvious example. But when we bring it back into the sales conversation, remember, we're dealing with people. The time frame, no one has a blank slate when you walk in the door. There's history in their mind. There's experiences in their mind. Everyone has stories that they tell themselves based on their previous experiences. So here's a couple of examples. You know, if your homeowner already believes, for example, all HVAC companies are shady, or man, you know, every single time we hire a contractor, they're trying to take advantage of us, or I just need a cheap fix. What'll happen is they're going to start filtering out everything you say that's going to challenge that, even if you're offering better solutions. And note, raise your hand if you've experienced this in the house. We all have. If you've been in if you've even run 5 appointments, you've experienced this. And it becomes very glaringly obvious the second that it comes up. Now, if a buyer already believes that those types of things, that all HVAC companies are shady, or all plumbers are shady, or all, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, or I just need a cheap fix, all those things, what happens is then, you know, and here's a good example too, right? You can explain the long-term return on investment of a new system, but the buyer keeps circling back to their neighbor, what the neighbor tell them, you just replace the capacitor. So that's an example. They're going to ignore all of the other information because, well, you know, that's what the neighbor said. That's what the neighbor did. And boy, they got out of it cheap. Well, yeah, what they don't know is the neighbor's system's going to die next week again because they just treated the symptom, not the real problem. So here's the brain hack. The brain does this to reduce decision complexity. It wants to keep it simple, but it keeps buyers stuck in outdated or fear-based frames. So here's some verbiage around how to shift this that will help you out when you come across those situations. Start with, totally makes sense. Most people in your situation feel this way at first. Would you like to hear what changed their mind? So it's a variation on feel, felt, found, if you've heard me go through that. But yeah, most people in your situation feel that way at first. Would you like to hear what changed their mind? Of course, they're going to say yes if you're in this conversation. And so here's a reframe tactic. So what we want to do when we're dealing with any of these biases, you want to do a pattern interrupt. So here's a question that you could use. What would it take for you to see this differently? You're not telling, you're inviting new thought. What would it take for you to see this differently? That is a totally legitimate question if someone is stuck on something that they're stuck for no apparent reason and just can't seem to get off of it. So that is the first one, confirmation bias. I hope you're with me so far. Number two is the sunk cost fallacy. That's S-U-N-K, one word, second word, C-O-S-T, fallacy, sunk cost fallacy. The first few times I heard that, I didn't understand what the heck the words were people were saying. So that's why I wanted to spell it for you, because I don't want you to end up like me 2-3 years later, finally seeing it written out and be like, oh, that's what they were saying for so long. So what is it? It's when people have, when they've invested time, energy, money, or a combination of any of those things into something, they feel irrationally committed to it, even when it no longer serves them. So, I mean, and here's a good examples, right? How many times have you had the thought to yourself, well, we already put this much in repairing our car. We already put this much into fixing it. You don't want to feel like you've lost that investment. So bringing it back to HVAC, for example, the homeowner clings to their 15-year-old system because they already spent $900 on it last winter. Their focus is on the past loss, not the future cost. So even when, you know, what you could do, you know, you're showing clear evidence that it's failing, they still say something like, well, let's try one more repair. This is when you know that you're bumping right up against this one of these biases, and this is the one, the sunk cost fallacy. So, here's the brain hack for this one. So this fallacy is driven by loss aversion. So the idea that giving up feels like losing, even when it's the smarter option. So a verbiage shift, you can help turn the corner with this one. So here's a word track for you. I can see how that feels frustrating. So we're validating first, you know, validate their concern. I can see how that feels frustrating. Here's what other homeowners realize: continuing to invest in this is like refilling a leaking bucket. Use an analogy that's simple. Make it something they can easily understand. I can see how this feels frustrating. You know, what other homeowners realized in the same situation is, you know, every single time they kept repairing this, it's literally like having a bucket that's got holes all in it, and you're standing here with your water hose, it's just going to keep leaking out. There's no way you could possibly ever fill it up and stop all the leaks. And so that's the conversation. It's literally just using a simple analogy that helps to reframe, because it's a pattern interrupt. So most people will try to handle something like this head on. I don't care if you've got your objection Rolodex or you've got the cards or whatever. Those create conflict when you come directly into it. So this is the reframe. You know, we're going to help them compare future gain versus ongoing loss. That's the comparison that has to be made. It's not about what they already spent. It's about ongoing loss. So here's a good question. What will it cost if you're here again next summer? Don't just tell, ask it as a question. What do you think the price will be next year if we just keep kicking this can down the road? What will it cost if you're here again next summer? Not including any and all repairs that we have to make between now and then. So start including some things in this conversation. Help them start comparing ongoing loss versus not losing, and get their mind away from where the sunk costs, what they already spent on it. So that is the second one, the sunk cost fallacy. You ready for number three? Raise your hand if you're ready for number three. Number three is choice paralysis. Too many options make it impossible to choose. This is why I don't like a ton of options. This is why I despise six options. There's no need for six options. Whoever trains this, I will stand up and 100% have this conversation with them directly. But too many options makes it impossible to choose. Yes, so we've got to start narrowing it down. Don't give so many options. Yes, absolutely give options, 100%. We need options, but don't give too many. And the second that you see any level of confusion or choice paralysis start to happen, in fact, some what they might say, hey, we need to sleep on this. We're just not sure. You know that you're running against this. So. You know, what happens? So here's another way that you can know if you are bumping up against the choice paralysis. You know, say we offer three offers, you know, a good, better, best. I recommend four. I like four options. Four options are cool. Good, better, you know, basic, premium, platinum, you know, good, better, best, fantastic, whatever you want to name it. You know, name it after the mountain peaks, name them after the sports teams. I really don't recommend naming things low to high type of verbiage, because homeowners will self-disqualify from whatever level their identity doesn't match. So if you're naming things like, you know, this is the Cadillac, this is the Ferrari, somebody might 100% be totally down with whatever level of equipment or whatever package is that's the Ferrari level. But literally because you named it the Ferrari level, their internal identity goes, I could never afford a Ferrari. I'm not the type of, I don't have the identity of we're not a Ferrari family. So they just discount it strictly on the fact that you named it improperly, that you named it bad. Name them more generalized things that don't have, that are not tied to different levels. Name them things that are, you know, for example, in Colorado, some of my friends in Colorado, they've had companies, they just pick four different mountain peaks or however many mountain peaks in the area and name them after that. You know, in Kansas City, one of the companies I've worked with over there, Kansas City, it, as you know, if you've ever been to Kansas City, or all of you who listen there in Kansas City, very, very much, probably the most sports fanatic city I've ever been in. So they just name their different offers, their different levels after the different sports teams, right? You've got the Chiefs, you've got the Royals, you've got, you know, just named after sports teams. It works. And so it was perfect. It was beautiful. But don't name your levels something that people can self-disqualify on based on their identity. So let's get into this a little bit. When they're saying things like, oh, we need to sleep on this, or, you know, they give those hesitation, they start to get confused. What's happening is the brain is starting to shut down under uncertainty. This is their prefrontal cortex, again, locking up to protect against risk. So what we need to do is to guide by starting to remove friction. We need to start grouping options, start create contrast. So here's a word trick for you. Oh, I got to start breathing again. I get fired up about this and my yawns come. Same thing. Again, if you haven't heard me say this, if you find yourself yawning in a presentation or fighting back those yawns, it means you're speaking too fast and you're not breathing deep enough properly in your conversation, because a yawn is just your body's natural reaction to get oxygen into your bloodstream. So that's your brain protecting yourself from not breathing well. So let's everybody breathe. 3, 2, 1, nice deep breath. Let it out. Okay, thanks for breathing with me. So here's a word track for you when you are running up against the choice paralysis. Let's eliminate one together. Which one doesn't feel like a fit at all? Or here's maybe a version of that. If you had to pick just one based on peace of mind, which one are you leaning towards? Which one would you lean towards? So we're bumping it over into the hypothetical. You know, if you had to pick one just based on peace of mind, which one would you lean towards? So that's a great word track to pattern interrupt and also help them eliminate some friction. All right, hydration time. All right, number four. Number four is loss aversion. So here's what it is. When people fear losing something, they have twice as much as they value gaining something. So people fear losing something they have twice as much as they value gaining something new. One more time to make sure it's clear. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable the first time. People fear losing something they have twice as much as they value gaining something new. So here's how this shows up in our appointments. Your buyer, the homeowner, they hesitate not because they doubt your solution, but because they fear the pain of making the wrong choice. We all know this is a huge one. This is the fear factor. This is the risk. This is why they get so many quotes from so many companies. Especially in the last, raise your hand if you've noticed this in the last 3, 4, 5 years, people are shopping so much more than they ever have before. Well, why the heck do you think that is? Maybe that's because, I don't know, they're feeling taken advantage of way more than they ever have in the past. And especially with so many companies coming in that are, you know, the stories go around. The companies that have come in and just dramatically overinflated pricing for no apparent reason, well, homeowners don't want to get taken advantage of. So they fear making the wrong decision, making the wrong choice. So here's the example. They might say something like, oh, you know, a lot of times will still come up as a think. And they'll give that, I don't want to make a mistake. You know, you're really catching the vibe with them of, let me think about it. I don't want to make a mistake in this. So they're trying to avoid regret. They're not trying to avoid the purchase. They're trying to avoid the pain of regret from the wrong decision. So here's the brain science behind it. The amygdala lights up when risk is perceived. So again, that brain goes to work to protect them. And this is when even a great solution feels threatening if the downside isn't neutralized. So here is your word track around this one. I hear you. Making the wrong choice is expensive. Would you like me to walk through how we remove that risk? Or I hear you, making the wrong choice is expensive. want to walk to get, what we can do is we can walk through how we remove that risk. Or is it okay if I share with you how we remove that risk? So it's validating first, labeling. I hear you, it's validating, labeling, making the wrong choice is expensive, and then the permission question. Can I walk through with you how we remove that risk? And then that permission question will keep open that door. And so they're going to say yes, absolutely, because they want to hear what your guarantees are. And so this is the perfect opportunity to talk about what your guarantees are. And I'm not, so do not go into
it's a 10-year parts warranty and it's a, 10-year labor warranty.
This is not the time to talk about that. This is the price guarantee. And I'm not talking about a price match guarantee. What do you do? What does your company do to protect against the downside of making the wrong decision? So if you don't have a rock solid, some sort of, hey, we carry the risk for you guarantee, I highly recommend considering having one. For example, our company, we had a 2-year no questions asked money back guarantee. 2 years. Did we use it? No. Well, actually, I take that back. We did. There was a couple situations we did. We actually took the system back, gave them every penny back. And those are stories for another time. If you go dig through the podcast, you'll hear me tell those stories. But in both cases, of course, we got pictures and, of us handing the checks back and, told those stories that, hey, we stand behind exactly what we say. We put it in writing and here's proof. Do you think those stories probably sold us millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of volume moving forward? Absolutely, they did. So it was a total no-brainer. But having some sort of guarantee, and we also have to reframe it. So once you go through, I hear you, making the wrong choice is expensive. Can I walk you through how we remove that risk? Yes. Instead of pushing benefits, what we need to do here also is we have to amplify the cost of inaction. We've really got to crank up what inaction will do. So here's just even as a question, what's the real cost of staying in the same situation 6 months from now? Yes, but if you don't do anything, then what will happen? If you don't do anything, what's the real cost here? So reframing it into amplifying what that negative is. Because sales is a balancing act, and it's really a ping pong match a lot of times especially when you get closer to the close, you're going to be bouncing back and forth some between what is the pain and what's the cost of not doing, and what's the pleasure or the what we're solving with the future. So we're constantly bouncing back and forth. Remember, these were the problems. If we don't do anything, you're still going to have those problems. So if you've done your job properly up to this point, you know how deep those problems go, and you know what it would feel like and how their life would change if those problems were solved. And so you're constantly bouncing back and forth, taking them through, letting them be the hero in their own story, solving those problems for their family, for themselves, et cetera. Now let's get to number 5. So that was number 4. That was loss aversion. So number 5 is anchoring bias. So what is this one? The first number or idea, not just number, or the first idea introduced becomes the anchor, and everything else is judged in relation to it. So for example, if a competitor quoted $6,000, your $9,000 quote seems expensive, even if it includes a ton more features, a better warranty, long-term value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all know there's a massive difference, but why are they not seeing it? Because they have this anchoring bias. It's the same thing when we're, if you have it, there's an expression in negotiation: person that speaks first loses, because that's where the anchor is going to be set. And so then you're playing off of that anchor. And there's a time when you want to plant the first anchor, and there's a time when you want to avoid planting the first anchor. And again, that's a whole nother training in itself. So all of these, there's a whole nother training on this. These are all the things that we dive through when we do one-on-one coaching, or when I come out and we work with your company directly. So we get into all of this over time, but you can't do it all at once. So here's a great example. Have you ever had one of your homeowners say, well, the other guy can do it for half as much. The other guy can do it for half price. It's like, holy crap, you're twice what the other guy was. Yes, that they're anchored. They're not comparing. They're just commentary of what their anchor is. So the brain hack here is this is a framing error. You hear me talk a lot about framing. That's why I recommend the book Pitch Anything by Oren Claff, because it is the very best book on how to set a frame. But this is a framing error. The brain attaches early numbers to decisions way before the full context is considered. So they attach early numbers to decision weight before the full context is considered. So here's the shift. Your verbiage, your word track here. I appreciate that. Before we talk final numbers, let's compare the outcomes, not just the price tags. Before we talk final numbers, let's compare the outcomes, not just the price tags. That helps to reframe into what's really the important issues. And again, reminding them about their pain points, reminding them how life is going to change. And here's another example. You know, when people invest in long-term comfort, performance, peace of mind, it usually lives in this range. So once you've gone through and reminding them of all of that, and you've shown very clear how maybe the half price, you know, offer, you know, the half price guy, and they can start to see because of this conversation that, okay, maybe that isn't the best choice. And even do it through questions. Holy cow, why do you think they're that much less? Let them tell you a few reasons. Why do you think they're that much lower in their price? Let them tell you, because they're going to come up with a few negatives and then build on that. And so then you can reframe it into, you know, here's what it should look like. And so then after you, and then only represent your offer. Only represent what your pricing is after you've had this conversation and you've shifted their lens that they are looking through. You're able to completely reframe the conversation. Then you can represent once they understand the full dynamics of everything they should be considering in this decision, not just a sticker price. So, let's do some coaching here. Let's talk about how to read the bias in the moment. So that we're hang with me. We're almost through here. I love this stuff. This is what moves the needle for top performers. Yes, there's the steps in the process and some of the verbiage and those types of things. But I guarantee you, everyone listening, these are the things that make the biggest difference. These things are the difference between a $1-3 million a year person and a $6-8 million a year person, guaranteed, because I've coached everybody in all these different at all the different levels. And personally, I've done it myself, and I've seen what moves the needle. And these are the things that move the needle the most. The problem is when you go and talk to most of the top performers, they don't necessarily always know how to break this down to communicate it to you, because that's not where their heads are at. That's my job. It's why where my superpower lies is to be able to analyze these and break them down in a way where we can all learn them a lot faster instead of just getting there through reps and intuition like a lot of top performers did. That's why I didn't even start the training and coaching until I was 15 years, you know, 13, 14, 15 years in sales as a top performer, because I didn't even think to be able, I got there through intuition and just through osmosis, but now I'm turning around and breaking it down for everybody so you can learn a lot faster. Is there no reason you should have to be stuck for years and beat your head against the wall and see if you can pick this stuff up through osmosis when we can just break it down and you can learn it and practice it and move on and get better? So that's the real-time coaching here. So you can't fix what you don't see. These biases, they show up very subtly. They often show up as just shifts in tonality, They'll show up as sometimes in as people are speaking, they'll show up as delays in the language. They'll show up as repetitive objections. So here are some tactics to spot these bias in the field when you come across them. If a buyer wants to repeat a concern without new information, that's your confirmation bias. If they just keep seeing the same concern over and over, and it, you know, they're not giving you new info, they just stay stuck on something, it's confirmation bias. If they are, for example, just replaying repair costs, you know, like, oh, I know, but we spent this much already, or, oh, but last year we did this, or we've already done this. That's your sunk cost fallacy. That's how you know what they're thinking. If they say, they keep saying, hey, we need to think about it with visible overwhelm. Clearly, they're in overwhelm of the choices. And this is massive for a lot of people. They're so, what they think is they're, you know, calling you to talk about an air conditioner, or they're calling you to talk about a garage door or a water heater. Then all of a sudden we show up and we give them this laundry list of things to choose from. They're like, how many times have you gone through your whole process? And then the homeowner says, man, I just wanted an air conditioner today. Geez, I just wanted a water heater. Man, I just really wanted a, I just needed some gutters today. That's your in choice paralysis. This is what happened. It was visible overwhelm. So you've got to simplify it. Number four, if they keep asking, what if it breaks again? What if it breaks again? This is loss aversion, loss aversion. And then if they reference another bid immediately, anchoring. If they reference a, well, Google says it should be this much. Well, that's anchoring. There's some numbers anchored in their mind. No real reason why it's there other than a source put it in there. And it doesn't mean it's factual or not, but they don't know the difference until you help them. So train yourself and your team to pause when friction rises and ask, is this logic or is this a bias? Is this logic or is this a bias? And if you start training yourself to think along those lines, when resistance comes up like this, you'll be able to handle them a lot better. So remember this. Your buyer is not being difficult. Your homeowner, they're not being difficult. Their brain is just trying to protect them. When you recognize these bias patterns, you stop arguing and start leading. You create space for clarity, and clarity is what's going to close the deal for you. So here's a recap. Bias distorts logic, but it doesn't have to kill the deal. These five biases are predictable and reversible with the right approach. So the neuroscience, the brain science, plus the phrasing equals clarity and conversions. So the best, the top reps, we don't overpower objections. What they do is they dissolve confusion. So remember that. So who do you know that is good or great at sales but loses buyers at the end? Send them this episode. This will help. And also, want some bias-proof training for your whole team? Go to my website. Go visit closeitnow.net. Pop me a message, sam@closeitnow.net. And we've got some cool stuff coming. There are some really cool trainings. Go join the mailing list. Oh, something I've never talked about. One, join the Facebook group and for Close It Now. And also, when you do, pop your email in the question and we'll get you on the mailing list. So we announce when we're doing. There's so many trainings and things that I do that are outside of what I can even have time to talk about here on the show. Pop me your email. We'll put you on the mailing list. That way we'll keep you in touch with where we're going to be. We've got some events coming up. One that I'm really excited about is the Services Summit that is going to be November 4th and 5th here in Austin, Texas. Brad Lee is going to, of the Dropping Bombs podcast, he is going to be the keynote. And yours truly, I am going to be speaking at that event as well. You can go to servicessummit.com to grab your tickets. And also, two quick notes about it. One, I'm helping support this event. So we are looking for sponsors. Who do you know that you would like to see as a sponsor there? If you are listening and you are a vendor, reach out to me and I can get you the pitch deck for sponsorship, because the reason I'm promoting this on the show is a huge part of the proceeds from this event go to Children's Cancer Research Foundation. And I'm very passionate about giving back to the community. And this is one of the most incredible ways to do it. So come have your socks blown off by, I'm going to bring the heat. I'm bringing some fire to this. There's a couple things that I think I'm going to speak about that you haven't heard. And if you've never heard me live and you've only heard a podcast, it's a whole different level of intensity and connection. And come to the event because it's going to be for a great cause. So thanks for listening to it today, everybody. I believe in every single one of you. Thank you for being part of this movement. This is different than everything else out there. This is not just training to make more money. This is training to make a bigger impact. You know, one of the things that I love to say is, you know, the best way to help the poor is to not be one. So the more that you grow yourself and the more you grow your income, the better you can impact the world around you to be able to change the face of your community and by your family, your community, and by extension, the world. So thanks for being here with me, and I appreciate every single one of you. Go work to become someone worth buying from.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement, and at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth, proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.